Welcome to the Recovery Lab podcast. We're glad you were able to join us. Recovery Lab hopes to destigmatize addiction and normalize recovery.
Our platform provides an avenue to share the many stories of those that have recovered from addiction, providing for the listener the most basic antidote to addiction.
Hope. All right, everybody, welcome back. I'm Drew Hassan.
I am Daniel Anderson.
We are the Recovery Lab. This is episode number 78.
78. I cannot believe it.
I really can't either.
It's been so long.
It has been long.
So we got a special little thing today. One of my good buddies, Todd Bledsoe, he's the owner of Anytime Roofing Construction. He dropped off some recording equipment this morning and that he's not using, and hopefully we'll be able to put that to use. Also, as well as a swag bag. You can see my Anytime Roofing and Construction hat right here. Lovely. It's a God-based company, and they do phenomenal work with roofing, construction, literally anything in the house or business they can handle for you. And let me just put this over here real quick. So we're grateful to Todd and his team over there, absolutely, for hooking us up over here. And you can check them out you can give them a call at 601-760-0469. Again, that's 601-760-0469. Again, we are super grateful to Todd and his team and his wonderful wife, Christy. I've actually done some refinishing for them over the past few years. Actually, I've done refinishing for him probably the last 10 years, and they've always treated me with love and respect, and I'm super grateful to them for helping me when I was first getting started. So thank you, Todd. Thanks for the swag bag, and let's kick it off, Drew. What are we doing here today, and exactly what are we talking about?
Goal setting.
Goal setting, you say?
Goal setting.
Yes, yes, yes.
So my first experience with somebody who really focused on the importance of having specifically articulated, and in his case, written goals, was about 20 years ago. I was working for an attorney here in town named Mark Chin, and Mark was an absolute proponent of the importance of having a clearly defined end game.
Sure.
So he... And to his credit, to Mark's credit, he really invested not just time and money, but energy into doing this, and he required his employees to do it too. And so we would go meet with this business coach. Think of a life coach, but just, you know, for business.
Sure.
And the guy was super cool. He was a fun fella, and he would help you work through how to establish what your goals are. So I know you're thinking, how does this apply to recovery?
Well, how does this apply to recovery, Drew?
Good question. I was thinking, so I've been sober for a minute.
Yes.
And all of the things that I could really wrap my mind around in the very beginning, like, oh God, wouldn't it be nice if I could only, I've pretty much got all those things.
Yeah.
I have a place to live. I have a steady job. I have a relationship with my kids. I've got a car.
You have your law degree back?
I have a law license.
Law license, yeah.
And so, you know, you think, well, you know, what else is there? And I had a memory pop up on my phone from 7 years ago, and I was with a guy that lives here in town. And he seems to continuously struggle on and off. And
with addiction?
Yeah. Like, you know, I can tell, you know, he posts some crazy shit on Facebook and you're like, yeah, you know, I know what that's about.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so it was just a reminder of where I started and where I am now. You think 7 years is an eternity, but it's really not.
No, it's a drop in the bucket.
It really is. So the things that I wanted, that like what I could, if you had told me 7 years ago, you'll have a house, you'll have a car, you'll have a job, you'll be married, you'll have a baby, and you'll have a relationship with your kids. I wouldn't have even thought Gandalf could have given that to me.
Would you have thought that when we were in that house of yours over off Hugh Ward?
So and, I didn't tell Daniel about
shooting
this.
Up in the bathroom.
Yes, to make this picture available to everyone. But he has a picture of us on my porch, and I look jaundiced. Like, I showed it to everybody up here where I work. I was like, y'all want to see something crazy? And they were like, look at your skin.
Yeah.
And I thought, that man's liver was being taxed.
Yes, yes. And what we did the night before that was, like, I'm a photographer, and I brought my studio lights and camera, and we took pictures of
crazy things,
like shooting up between the toes of that girl and, like, just the weirdest, most devilish, satanic, nasty stuff. Like, and it was all because of drugs. Like, it was drugs,
dude. How do you remember that?
I don't know. Like, I remember, like, I know I had red filters on the lights. I remember that. I remember taking a photo of you with a knife against your throat. I remember.
You showed me that picture.
I remember that girl specifically. And this, I guess why I remember it, not to get too far off on a tangent, but I remember like it was yesterday, and this was years ago. I remember it like yesterday that girl, she had exhausted, I guess, I've never shot up anything, so I don't know exactly how it works, but I guess she had exhausted all of her veins in her arms.
It can happen.
So she took down her shirt, and she started trying to find veins in her breast, and that didn't work. Yes, I don't know where you were, but she and I were in the den and we were doing this. So she was trying to find that wouldn't work, and just the
despair.
The despair on her face when she would try with no luck whatsoever getting these, and then she finally picked her toe up and spread her toe in and finally found a vein in between her toes or something, and finally got that momentary relief that she was searching for, and it couldn't have lasted for more than 30 seconds, because after 30 seconds it went from oh I'm so glad I found that vein to oh my gosh, I have to find another one.
I gotta do it again. I've already pulled a rabbit out of the hat.
So I mean, just I guess that's why I remember that night.
It's seared into your memory.
Yeah, just the despair and the sadness that I witnessed with both of you.
This is completely off topic, but yeah. There are snapshots in my mind of seeing people throughout my using career where you could tell they were at their wit's end.
Yeah.
I have a couple memories that I can call of just seeing the look on people's face, like this is awful. You know, there isn't seriously, literally anything fun about this.
No, just the look on her face, man. I mean, it was, and I think I deleted those photos. I think I did finally, just because, I mean, I think
hard
that's,
to look at.
I think it's best left in the past, but,
it's good to memorize. It's good to recall, though.
Yeah, I will never forget that night. I mean, it was so impactful for me.
Well, okay, so back on the story.
Back on.
So this was just a few years ago, and it made me think, I wonder about goal setting, and am I approaching my recovery like I once did in my professional life?
Right.
And then I really thought about, you know, redoing the exercise I'm about to explain. So this guy so Chin sets us up with this business coach, and the business coach was basically helping you through, I can see his face. Why am I, I'm going blank. Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
So Tony Robbins has, and you can listen to it. You can go buy it. It's still available. A goal setting workshop. And the idea is you decide what it is you want. And for the example that I'm going to use, it's going to be, I want a Mercedes Benz. And so Tony Robbins helps you see how you can divide into smaller, achievable goals the ultimate goal of having a Mercedes. So he says, you know, what do you have to have a Mercedes? Well, you got to go by the Mercedes store and pick one out. Okay, so in the next week, we're going to go by the Mercedes store and pick out the one we want. We're going to find out how much it is. And then after that, you find out, okay, how much are the notes going to be? And so it seems elementary when somebody explains it to you, but it's a great idea. Like if you've got a goal that you want to achieve, you need to, he would help you break it down, you know, this kind of
reverse. You have to be able to visualize
reverse it. Engineer so that you have definable in, you know, you leave the Tony Robbins goal setting workshop thinking, shit, I'm gonna get a Mercedes.
Right.
Now shortly after I listened to that goal setting workshop, I got on drugs and getting a Mercedes.
It'd be like that sometimes. Yes.
Yeah. It was a little bit out of the question. And again, you know, it was just, you know, kind of rapid fire the way our brain works. And I thought, I really need to focus on where I'm going, because if you don't have a destination, then you're just going to kind of meander through life or recovery. And it just seems better and more fulfilling if I know where I'm going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I certainly tell my clients when they come in, you describe for me what an acceptable outcome looks like. You tell me where the destination is, and I will figure out a way to get us there.
Right.
And the same can be said for recovery. And I thought, okay, what are the things that I want to work for or towards? Now, I've already gotten, through God's grace and hard work, a lot of things restored to me. But that wasn't, you know, there was lots of uncertainty and there was lots of hard work that I did. So where is it that I want to go? Where do I want to go with my professional life? Where do I want to go with my marriage? Where do I want to go as a parent? I've still got one parent left. So where do I want to go as a son?
Hey, Margaret.
Hey, Mama. A podcaster. I think that what we should do is over the next couple months, do a goal setting workshop on the podcast.
Okay. I like that.
You come up with some things that you want. I'll come up with some things that I want. And we will, for the benefit of our listener, talk back and forth about how we're going to set smaller, a la Tony Robbins, achievable goals that help us get there.
Yeah. And I also, I think that's a phenomenal idea. I'm all for it. But I think it's important to note that my first 6 months in recovery, I was doing really good not to be putting meth into my body. I was doing really good not to drink and to stay away and to deal with the problems that I had created in active addiction.
That's a good point.
So don't, probably the first year, the goals that I had were don't drink and don't use no matter what. And it was just that simple. And I didn't stray I wasn't thinking about, you know, I mean, I was trying to, you know, keep my business afloat and keep things, you know, keep income coming in. But my number one goal was call my freaking sponsor every single day, be transparent with him, talk about what's going on with me, and don't drink or use no matter what.
You know, that's a good point. I wouldn't want to alienate somebody listening to the podcast thinking, well, these guys have already got it all together.
Yeah, no, we don't.
I'm just here with my ass is hanging out. Because I don't want for people to think that it's super easy in the beginning.
No, it can be. I mean, for some folks.
And if you don't have the mental bandwidth, because you're struggling, then you focus on that.
Right. And there's no shame associated with that.
No.
I mean, I will, Lord willing, I will have 3 years on Thursday. And, you know, like I said, that first year and a half, really, I was doing okay just to, you know, do the things that, that I did in order to get and stay sober. So don't beat up on yourself if you don't have goals or whatever the case may be, because you are in the fight of your life right now in early sobriety.
Well, there, it is perfectly okay to be at a place where you just can't do that right now. I can't. I've got too much on my mind. I've got too much going on, because we do run out of, like I said, bandwidth. And there's only, you know, we have a finite amount of resources. And the most important thing is to devote those resources to being sober.
Yeah. So can I ask you a couple of what your goals are?
Yeah.
Okay. What are a couple of your goals, Drew?
Well, in which area?
Well, it could be in your recovery. It could be professional life. It could be in your marriage. It could be, I mean, we have a little bit of time here, so we're only 16 minutes in, so we got time. All right. I'm curious,
okay,
personally.
So we'll start professionally.
Okay.
So so I work for Ernie.
Ernie Stewart.
Ernie is the boss of all things real estate, and we are of counsel for a title insurance agency and closing company, mm-hmm. you know, closed loans, that kind of thing. So I would really like to grow that part of our practice. And then I would like to try a jury trial.
Okay.
Something I've never done.
You've never done that before?
Not a jury trial.
Oh, wow.
I've gotten as far as selecting a jury, but it settled.
Okay.
And while I was super happy for the client that it settled, I really wanted to finish jury selection and doing all the things that you do in a trial.
Right.
See how it goes.
Right.
So that those are kind of the immediate professional goals that I have. And I would also like a published case from the Mississippi Supreme Court. And I stole those directly from Chin.
Okay.
But they are good. That's a good goal for an attorney.
Yeah.
So what are some things that I can do to work towards that? Well, I can call some more realtors tomorrow and, you know, try to take them out to lunch and, you know, make connections and meet people and try to grow that facet of our practice. So that's that. On the recovery side of things, I mean, I'm pretty good. I want to continue to be sober so that I can have the other things in life that I want. Like I don't know that, like I get to a sufficient number of meetings, but I could do better about being more steady with my morning meditation, and I could be more steady with my prayer life. Once upon a time I had a more robust meditation practice, but I mean, I just kind of let that flutter out.
It's easy to do.
And I am reminded of, I don't know who posted this, but it had an impact on me. So, you know, it starts off the little reel. You see a lady holding a glass of orange juice. And this, you know, the caption below it says, "This is how real healing takes place." And the lady takes the glass of orange juice and she sticks it under the running faucet, and it just sits there, and it slowly but surely changes from orange juice to water. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's exactly right. You know, you just can't fix things overnight. Like the video was oddly long for a reel, and I think that was by design to show people that, you know, it does take a while to heal, and things that hurt or things that are bothersome just become gradually less so. There's no magic pill. There's no, oh, if I can just go see the right therapist or if I can read the right books. It just takes therapy and books and time. So
basically the solution to pollution is dilution. So the longer that you stay sober, the longer that you hold that cup underneath, and the eventually all of that
gets cleared out.
Pollution will get cleared out.
Well, and you hope that you engage in a robust practice of recovery and that you don't add more orange juice to the glass along the way.
But that also may happen.
It may happen because you're going to delay the orange juice turning to water.
Right.
So that's professional and recovery. I have goals for our marriage. Kimberly and I are going again to that JH Outback. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to do with recovery, and it's a faith-based endeavor. For those of you that don't know, you go and you spend a weekend, and they have different groups that you meet with, and they try to help you have a better marriage.
Yeah. Yeah, we went last year. It was phenomenal. We went in Birmingham.
So we're going again. That we went last year, and then I told Daniel about it and how good it was. And what's really nice about it is, at least where we went, there's no cell phone service. So you really do build a sense of togetherness.
Yeah.
That I'm looking forward to. So those are things that I have. Okay, so like I want to be the kind of father that doesn't flip out when they do something real stupid. And it seems that they're doing something real stupid on the regular. And I have to remind myself, I didn't give a fuck about getting my clothes in the laundry hamper when I was 12 years old. I mean, it was just the last thing on my mind.
Yeah.
And so I have to think they're not doing that on purpose just to piss you off. They don't care.
Right. It's not an issue for them.
They don't care. I've got one child that will go out in public looking like, you know, who'd have thunk it, hair all everywhere. He doesn't care.
No.
He just, I mean, and I've got to remember, he just doesn't care. He'll care later.
Yeah.
But he doesn't care now. And so I don't want to be, you know, I tried to take him to play Frisbee golf yesterday.
Over at the reservoir?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they can't stop fighting with each other. You know.
Did you take Abigail as well? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the older ones. And then Kimberly and Thomas met us out there. The older ones can't stop fighting with each other, throwing the Frisbees at each other, yelling horrible things to each other at the Frisbee golf course. And I was like, get your ass in the car, man. So I took them back, and we had an analog afternoon.
No
devices.
What a hellish day that must have been.
No Xbox. And their arms were long. Oh, that. Oh, you're killing us. You know, all that. So I want to be a more calm parent. But at the same time, I recognize that just letting them get away with everything is not going to help anybody.
Yeah.
Being parents is tough, man.
Yeah, especially when you have 18 kids.
There are so many of them. Every time I turn around, they want something to eat. Yeah.
How dare they?
I'm like, I just fed y'all.
I fed you 12 hours ago. What more do you want from me?
Yeah. You know, y'all drank a gallon and a half of milk last night.
Man, and, I just love having one kid. I do, man. I just love it. I love it. And he's 16, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Sorry,
yours is pleasant too.
He is. He's a lovely child.
I mean, I'm sure he can be, you know.
But whatever. No, not really. Like what? Because he's always been an only child. Like there's never been like he's never.
He doesn't have that competition.
No, he doesn't have the competition. Like his best friend. Like I mean, they hung out all the time. They still hang out all the time. He lived right around the corner from us. So, but like when they would get in an argument or in a tiff, like. He would just go home, and that was it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, bickering.
There is some kind of peculiar group dynamic amongst my older three kids. If you can take one of them out of the equation, and it doesn't matter which one.
Yeah, you've talked about this
before. The other two are perfectly pleasant.
Yeah.
The remaining two. and I don't understand it. It's really, it's interesting psychologically.
Yeah, but all of this will pass. All of this will, you know, a few years down the road, they'll be, you know, in college and you'll be looking back at this time. You know, it's the most cliche thing in the world. Oh, you'll miss these days. Like,
yeah.
No, I won't. I most certainly will not, but I probably will. I probably will. So yeah, that's a lot. You got a lot on your plate, man. You do. You really do. All right. So what other goals you got, bro?
I would love for Recovery Lab to be a net to operate in the black as opposed to be a loss leader. You know, the Recovery Lab is the $1.50 corn dog at Costco. You know,
well, there are things that we can do.
And I feel like a failure on that end. But
Black Sheep just got sponsored by Storage Max, bro.
Boom.
They've got 20 episodes. I mean, but, you know, they have Brad that's like, straight up, like that's his only job. Is Brad handles? He does all of that work for Gateway Rescue Mission, and he came on board with the Black Sheep, and that's his job. Like that's his job is to get out there, and so they have a whole full human adult that's his job is to
market.
To market, yeah, and to get our name out there, or their name out there. I guess I do play a small role in the production, but, you know, that's his job. So, you know, there's things that we can do, absolutely. But also at the same time, you know, I won't say that I'm content with mediocrity, because I think that mediocrity is the last thing that the Recovery Lab is, but I am content with the direction that we're heading and the service that we provide our community. And that's helping and talking with people, discussing difficult topics, relating new and interesting things in the recovery community that may be going on, and just being of service.
Recovery Lab helps us dilute the orange juice glass.
Yeah, absolutely.
In my own personal life, it has been of enormous benefit.
Oh, it's been phenomenal for me as well.
The constant renewing of my recovery thought, my you know, being engaged with people that are in recovery.
Yeah.
I mean, by now, if I were still, you know, taking Valium on the low, people would know by now.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Gosh, what was that? Just yesterday, actually. I've got a lot of things in the fire right now. I've got a lot of projects, I've got three businesses. I've got, you know, lots of things going on. And I think I was actually driving up here yesterday to meet a client. And I just started thinking, like, I simply wouldn't have the bandwidth if I was in active addiction to do one of those things. And in sobriety and recovery, I have a plethora of energy. I have a surplus of energy, and like I am excited the vast majority of the time. I'm excited about life. You know, is every day, you know, super exciting? No, it's not. That's unreasonable and a crazy expectation. But the vast majority of the time I am optimistic about the future. I am excited about the future. I'm constantly looking to how I can help other people and how I can, you know, mitigate the risk of having that financial insecurity that you know, people in recovery can sometimes be
that everybody's deal with. Plagued with.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I am super. I'm optimistic about the future, and I'm. Honestly, I'm kind of excited about the future. So what other goals do you have? What are we talking about?
You know, as I sat here and kind of ruminated over about my recovery goals, like there are just certain personality quirks that I have that I would like to either, you know, minimize or maximize. Like I could be,
such as?
I could be more understanding. I could be less judgmental.
Yes. Yes.
I could be more willing to accept the shortcomings of the people in my sphere. I guess stated another way, I could be nicer to Kimberly about things she does that I don't like.
There it is. There's no need to beat around the bush here.
Sorry, honey.
Oh, I need my sound effects. I'm going to get those back going. Or a rim shot or something like that.
You know, I could work to be on social media less and try to be present at home more. Because you're right. You know, those things that, like, Thomas will want to kick the ball in the hall forever. It seems like that's all, you know, he'll want you to do it forever. And there will quickly become a time where, you know, he'll be like Andrew, who I have to threaten to get him to respond to my text messages.
There's, yeah.
So, you know, and I guess everybody is like this, to be more fully engaged in the present, to be less in the future or in the past and be right where we are, which is.
Yeah. I mean, after all, you know what they say. If you know, if you've got 1 foot in the future and 1 foot in the past, what are you doing? You're taking a piss all over the current.
Urinating.
You are urinating all over it. So yeah, it's important. That's a huge thing. It's hard. It's not easy.
It is hard, and it is a practice.
Yeah.
So I really would like us to do this. We can produce these lists and then discuss them. And if y'all want to be involved, we welcome comments. And look, the Recovery Lab listener, let me tell you, this is for you.
Listen up, guys.
I thought y'all were going to comment more. When I first started, I thought there were going to be lots of comments and that I would spend a great deal of time responding to those comments. So take this as your moment of shame. And if you want to comment, please comment.
Yeah. I mean, we do have over 72,000 people watching right now.
You would think that some
point, you would think that only, one of those.
If only 1% were commenting. We would,
yes, 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 yes. All right. What other goals you got?
Okay. I would like to have a vehicle large enough to hold my entire immediate family.
Okay.
I need that third row.
You need the third row.
Yeah.
The pilot's not cutting it?
Well, I have CRV.
CRV.
A pilot would, in fact, cut it.
Oh, yes, indeed. They do have that third row, don't they?
Despite what some criticisms I may have gotten lately about my CRV, it's a...
Is it paid for?
It is paid for.
Well, that's a damn fine vehicle.
Smoothest ride.
Yeah, there's much to be said about not having a car note.
God, man. Who wants a car note?
I got two of them.
Yeah, tell me.
It's not
yeah.
great.
I don't want nothing to do with it.
Okay, so a vehicle with a third row. What else?
I could be more diligent about my gym attendance.
Yes.
I was doing really, really well for a while, and then the time change happened in November, and it was hard to recover from that.
Yeah.
And the thing is that I can know this is one peculiar thing about people in recovery and addiction. Like, I can know these things that I could do, and they would have a virtually immediate impact on my frame of mind. For example, going to the gym. Why don't I just do it? What is it? Why is it that we talk ourselves out of it?
Because we don't want to do it.
The cycle of self-defeating behavior?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I mean, we could sit here and psychoanalyze that, those thoughts all
wax
day long
on
and,
about it.
Yeah, and you know, have the best of intentions to get over there and hop into to the gym and you know, life happens.
It does.
It just life happens. It gets lifey sometimes. I have not been great. My membership is active. It's very much active. But I am not in there. And we've gotten on this kick of like sweets at night, like going over to McLean and, you know, we get a discount over there. And
that cheesecake.
That cheesecake, the Oreo cheesecake. And then now they have this freaking incredible chocolate cake that's just the most incredible thing I've ever experienced in my life. And they have Laffy Taffy. They have milk. They have literally everything a fat man would need in order to be very happy.
Right.
And we've gotten in this routine of like going over there like at 8 o'clock at night, and we would be perfectly fine just not doing that. But, well, we do get a discount, so
we can't afford not to.
We can't afford not to. So, yeah.
You think about the money we're saving instead of going to the other grocery store.
Right, exactly. It's phenomenal. All right, so anything else? Anything other? Any other goals?
I think that's a good place to leave it. Okay. I've got a lot to think about, and we can circle back.
Okay. Well, let's let me talk about some of my goals.
All right, let's hear it.
All right. So for me, goals are insanely important. If you can't visualize what you want to achieve, then it's not going to happen. Also, if you don't think that you're capable of doing something, or you don't think that this is possible, that it could happen, you're absolutely right. If you have that crazy mindset that says, like I do, that, hey, you know, I know this is a crazy goal, but I'm going to go for it, and I'm going to put in 110%. If I don't achieve that goal, I'm going to be a year from now in a much better position as a result of being able to visualize that goal than I would be if I had that negative self-talk. Oh, come on, you're just Daniel Anderson. That's never going to happen for you. You're never going to be that successful. Like, there's no way. If I thought that way, it would be absolutely correct. I would be 100% correct. But for me, being able to visualize, and that, a lot of that comes from, it stems, my ability to do that stems from my extensive work with internal family systems and becoming at peace with all of the parts of myself and being able to love myself and not hate myself and not say, oh, you're an idiot and you messed up here. You're an idiot. You're never going to be successful. Like, that's what
damned
I did
to failure.
Right. That's what I did until I got sober this time and started working in internal family. I was my worst. I was my biggest enemy. I was my biggest critic. I mean, I was awful to myself. I would never treat anyone in this world the way that I treated myself. So I say all that to say my work with Internal Family Systems and Russ Schulte and Zach or Zed, it really put me in a position to be able to think clearly and to be able to be at peace with myself. And when I'm at peace with myself, I can begin to visualize these things that I want because I'm not wasting time foolishly and energy, beating up on myself and having these internal conversations about how awful I am and how I've screwed everything up and blah, 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 blah. I mean, we all do it sometimes. So I think. So one of the goals that I have is, my number one goal in this world is to be of service, is to help people. I have a very strong conviction that so long as I am trying to help people on my path, I'm never too far off that path, right? I'm never too far off the path if what I'm doing is actively helping other people. So I take a lot of, I can sleep easy knowing that, you know, with my podcast clients and my interview clients and my tub refinishing clients and my construction clients. And, you know, my number one goal with all of that is to help. My number one goal is not to line my pockets with money. It's not to get that check as soon as I can and get the heck out of there. No, I get more enjoyment and more reward out of seeing that customer's face when they have this disgusting bathroom and I come in there, I work hard, I give them 110% of my attention and effort, and at the end of the day, they have a massive smile on their face and they know that they have they got something that they're going to enjoy for a long time. That's where I get my enjoyment. It's not the going to the bank and depositing the check is nice, but money comes and goes, you know. It will always come and go. So my goal is to build the construction business, you know, and be able to help as many people as I can, you know, at achieve what their goals and their visions are for their home or business. That's a goal of mine. The huge thing that brings me a tremendous amount of joy is being in this studio and watching people like the Save One podcast and the Black Sheep Recovery and us here at the Recovery Lab and even the secular podcast that I produce, you know, with the judge and Dave and you know, even those are very, very rewarding. Those are two middle-aged white men that come in here once a week and they laugh and chuckle and they have a great time. And I get to sit here and help them do that and get their fun out there. I mean, it's the biggest rush in the world for me to sit here and watch someone that's sitting in your chair smile or laugh or be excited or whatever the case may be.
Or accomplish their goal of having a podcast.
Of course, of having a platform to be able to get the message
out. Bringing
out
the best part of people.
Yes, of course. So one of my goals with Audio Alchemy Productions is I see this as the very, very, very infancy of Audio Alchemy Productions. I would love, and I can visualize this, a very large studio space, a very large high-tech, the most high-tech studio that money can buy, and the ability to produce films and videos and shorts and reels, as well as podcasts and interview series. I even, you know, kind of have my eye on a building that would be phenomenal, and it's a very, very large building. Now, of course, we'll have to take this one step at a time. We have to do market research and, you know, see if this is something that the investment, the ROI would be, you know, something that would be worthwhile. But that's the goal. The goal is to build something very, very large that can help an enormous amount of people, whether it be creatively, spiritually, emotionally, whatever the case may be, allow them a safe, fun place to come and form meaningful connections with others using the arts in some way, shape, or form. So that's one goal. The goal with the refinishing business is just continue to grow and continue to be of maximum service to my customers and help them, you know, to update their bathrooms in one day. It brings me a great deal of joy to help them come in there, knock it out in one day, and they suddenly have this completely different looking, fresh, updated bathroom. And the morning before, they had this green tub and pink tile, and it was, you know, it was
avocado.
It was tired. So I really love that. And then in my personal relationships, you know, I want to continue to grow as a person. I want to be a better partner. I want to be a better listener. I want to be a better, you know, I want to be more compassionate. And, you know, similar to what you said with Kimberly, I want to, there are lots of areas where I can improve in my personal relationships. And I just want to continue to stay on that path of never being okay with where I'm at right now, as far as if there is work that can be done.
But isn't it interesting how we need to balance never accepting the status quo as being good enough, but also never forgetting where we came from?
Sure.
And to maintain a certain level of gratitude about what we have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like when you chimed in about, you know, the first 6 months or a year, I mean, your main focus, if you're like me, is just
just stay alive.
Yeah, I just got to put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
So we have to maintain appropriate level of gratitude for what we have.
Yeah, and we have nothing. There I go with the wheat. I cannot speak for anyone, but I have to stay grounded in gratitude. If I'm not grateful, everything in my life
sucks.
It's awful. It's happening to me. How dare they drive so slow in the left lane? Granted,
woe is me.
Granted, people that drive below the speed limit in the left lane are Satan's spawn. I'm just going to say that. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. Don't do that.
They are bad people.
They're bad people with bad hearts and right. bad souls. Other than that, I will be, quick to anger and quick to negative emotions if I'm not grateful.
How quick we all are to, I can't remember what that preacher's name is, but he was sharing how his son asked him, well, Daddy, is it a lot if you make $50,000 or $60,000 a year? And he said, I told my son, well, it is until you make $50,000 or $60,000 a year.
Right.
You know, how quickly we are dissatisfied with what we have.
And I think it's a balance with being okay with where you're at, but also wanting to do better for yourself.
Yes.
I can go to the extreme quite easily. I can go to the, I am not happy with where I'm right now, and I am ruthless, and I'm going to do anything and everything in my power to ensure that I go to that next level. And when I get there, when I am in that mind frame, it's not a good place for me. It's not a good place for those that are around me because I'm ruthless. I'm cutthroat. I don't particularly care about how you feel and what you think about the situation. I am laser focused, and I'm going to steamroll anybody that gets in my way. And that's not a healthy thing for me. I can still get that way in sobriety. Like, absolutely. Those times are, fewer and fewer and further in between. But I am very capable of being a complete asshole. And also, the asshole generally, that part of me is generally rooted in fear. So when I say, I could be an asshole, like kind of being boastful and I'm a big bad guy. No, what that really is I'm scared about something.
Yeah.
And I'm lashing out because that's the only way that I in the moment can handle my emotions. So I got a lot of work to do on that as well. I mean, pause when agitated and not act like an asshole because I'm scared of something. That's what it is. I'm acting like a child. I'm actively acting like a child when I lash out to someone. And when I allow someone to control my emotions, all that is me giving them power. Like, just here's my power. You have it. Handle it however you want. But I'm going to be so angry at you and I'm going to give you all the power. No, anybody that I allow to make me angry, I am giving them the power. And I am not particularly interested these days in giving away that power because that's unhealthy for me. It's unhealthy for them. It's unhealthy for all parties involved. You got to stay in your lane. You got to be, you got to learn how to deal with your emotions. And that's something that a lot of us, I'll speak for myself again, in active addiction, I was incapable. I was physically and emotionally incapable of doing that, so it's a learning process. We turn into completely different people when we get sober, and it takes time to learn who you are.
It takes time. Time takes time.
Yeah.
Well, look, I think we should invite our listeners along with us on this goal setting journey.
Yeah, I think so.
We could all do it together as a community.
I would love that. I would love that.
Come on. Come along, everybody.
Come on. Come on. We have 71,000 people watching now.
Slight dip.
But that's okay.
It is.
They'll come back. Well, I think this has been really, really great. We're already at 50 minutes.
I know it.
I feel good. All right. So we will continue.
We've got a bunch of killer content coming up.
Yep. We do.
We will let you know more when we have things firmly scheduled.
Absolutely. And, again, we appreciate, all of you men and women and everything in between for tuning in. If you would like to talk to us about getting your message out here, or
we're here for it,
sponsoring the Recovery Lab or, whatever the case may be,
just helping out.
We can definitely talk to you about that and help you get your message out there. So, all right. Well, I feel good about this.
We're out.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye.